A few months ago, the water shortage in the West seemed to be improving. The snowiest December on record dropped more than 200 inches on the Sierra Nevada mountains in California. But now the drought is back, and scientists say the West can expect another blistering wildfire season. Joining us is Andrew Schwartz. He's lead scientist at the UC Berkeley Central Sierra Snow Lab, located near Lake Tahoe. Welcome back, Andrew. Good to have you.
Thank you for having me on, Anthony.
Now, we last spoke to you in December when the outlook was a little better than it is today, and I want to play just a short bit of tape about something that you told us then. Here it is.
If we get really good snowpack seasons, it can hang around until July or even August. So it's incredibly exciting to see this big record-breaking snowfall in December.
Okay, Andrew, so that was last December. With the summer still months away, how's the snowpack looking in the Sierras right now?
It's effectively almost completely gone. There's about a foot to maybe 18 inches of snow around most of the lab here, and we're only at about 15 to 20% of average for this time of year. So that big December snowstorm that dropped almost 18 feet of snow on us unfortunately hasn't carried through in the way that we hoped it would.
What a disappointment. It was a strange winter. So what does that tell us about the summer and the coming months?
It's fairly concerning. We still haven't reached what we would expect for our average precipitation for the entire winter, but we're still short. And that means that ultimately, we're not going to have that water going into our reservoirs. We're not going to have it for our ecosystems to remain as healthy as we would hope. And then, of course, that means that we're going to see potentially large forest fires again this season once our underbrush really starts to dry out.
Now, in a recent New York Times piece, you outlined some things that needed to happen to get off this roller coaster. And you started with the way government scientists like yourself approach this challenge. How should government agencies change so that they can better confront this challenge?
Well, when we look at the these various changes going on, ultimately that means less water going into our reservoirs. And optimally, we're going to be modeling that and measuring it effectively. But one of the problems that we've had recently is that a lot of these changes haven't been included in some of the models that have been developed. In some of the more shared models, they have been. The National Weather Service here has done a great job of incorporating a lot of the recent science. A lot of our local agencies and state agencies just haven't had the chance to implement this, either because they're lacking funding or lacking personnel. And ultimately, that means that we may be planning for water that we don't have at our disposal. And then we could see taps going dry or water needing to be trucked in a worst case scenario. These are all things that we need to be cognizant of and start working towards solutions to before they become an issue.
So the latest comprehensive review of climate science from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change says essentially that when it comes to curbing global carbon emissions, it's now or never. If we were to take that seriously and accomplish these goals, would that move us away from this cycle of drought and wildfires that we seem to be increasingly stuck in?
It definitely will. It'll help at least ease future complications, we'll say. A lot of what we've done and have experienced to date will continue to occur. We are aware that there's about a two-decade lag in the atmosphere, so it's very likely we haven't actually seen a whole lot of the response in our current climate that we've already developed from our CO2 emissions. And so as a result, we will continue with these current swings, but they won't get worse. And that's why we have to act now.
Right. And what about for individuals? Because I think a lot of people feel powerless in the face of climate change. I mean, we're talking about big things that need to happen at a sort of governmental level. But in the meantime, what individual choices can people make to help with this drought situation?
Us as individuals, you know, we can really impact how we use our water. And that means that any drop saved now is a drop that we have available in the future. So sitting down and making sure that you're doing your dishes in the dishwasher, because the dishwasher uses a lot less water, xeriscaping your yard. And I know that's not always optimal because I love a green lawn too, but continual use of water in drought just doesn't make sense. So doing that type of stuff, being cognizant of any way you can save water, that will absolutely impact how much water we have going forward. And so it shouldn't necessarily be seen as hopelessness because there is something you can do, especially with regard to our drought.
Andrew, you deal with a lot of, I gotta say, depressing data. You know what it means when the snowpack is small and disappearing. You understand what the West is facing in terms of the limited water resources. What gives you hope as you do this work in the Sierra Nevada mountains?
I think the hope from me comes from going outside and actually getting into nature where these places exist that are going to be impacted because they're so beautiful and so wonderful. And I know that if I can go out with other people and we make the right decisions, that we can actually change what's going to happen to these beautiful places so that they can stay beautiful and we can continue to enjoy them and hopefully curb our emissions with climate change so that we can continue to have this wonderful earth that we're in.
That's Andrew Schwartz. He's manager and lead scientist at the UC Berkeley Central Sierra Snow Lab. Andrew, thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Anthony.